on the elevator at the hospital this week. The fellow there on the elevator, must have been in his 70s or so, and he was a rather spry gentleman. I struck up a conversation with him, and we got to talking. Boy, you should have heard him. His name was Bill, and as we got to talking, the fellow was sharp. I mean, a really, really sharp guy with all kinds of information, and I like to get stories from people. So we went down to the lobby, and we sat down, and he began to tell me his life story, places he'd been, things he'd done. And we got into the conversation. I learned a lot from him. He was an intelligent man. Then I asked him a question. I don't ask this question of folks very often, but only after I've known them for a little while at least, anyway. And I asked him, I said, Bill, if you wouldn't mind, I said, I'm just wondering, when were you born? And he looked at me and he said with a straight face, he said, I wasn't born. I kind of smiled. I thought he was joking. And I said, right, you don't want to tell me your age. No, he said, I'm serious. I was never born. I said, what? Have you always been alive? He said, yes, sir, I have always been alive. Now, you may have guessed, you may not have, Bill does not exist. I made that story up. He said, he told a lie, but I told you it was a lie before I quit, all right? But I did meet a Bill by the name of Bill Hicks. Many years ago, back in the 70s, I was pastoring out in western Colorado. Bill and I were attending the same church. I was pastoring. He was the member there. I had not been there long, just a matter of a few months. I was teaching a course on how to witness to others. During that course, I asked the folks that were there that night to take a piece of paper. I handed it out. Nobody knew I was going to do it that night, and Bill was there. And there's an older gentleman, probably at that point, maybe in his 60s, upper 60s, somewhere in there. But he was a large man, a lumberjack he'd been, and he was sitting there. And I handed out the piece of paper, and I said, I want everybody to write down how you got saved. Little did I know the effect that would have upon Bill. Service was over. We had dismissed. I was standing out in the parking lot, and he walked down the stairs out of the building, came up to me out in the dark. I was standing out there saying goodbye to some other folks. He walked right up to me, and he pulled my suit coat back, and he took his testimony, and he stuffed it in my shirt, just about ripped my shirt. He said, here, take this. I said, boy, I could tell he was mad. I said, what's the matter, Bill? He said, take it. I said, what is it? It's my testimony. I said, well, Bill, why are you so upset? He said, because when you read it, you aren't going to think I'm saved. I said, well, Bill, if you think I'm going to think you're not saved, here, please, just take it back. I don't even need to read it. That's between you and God right now. He wouldn't take it back. He stomped off and walked away. Sure enough, I opened it up and I began to read it, and just like he had predicted, I didn't think he was saved. He said in there, I don't remember the exact wording anymore, it's been so many years ago, but he said in there, he said, I don't remember ever having a time in my life when I was lost. I have always believed in Jesus Christ since I was a little child. I've run across numerous people since then who have given me similar type stories. The last couple of weeks, I visited two people in the hospital, both of them with the same type of a story. And a couple of weeks ago, I visited a lady in the hospital. As I spoke to her, she affirmed very strongly. She said, look, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But I've never asked Him to be my Savior. I don't need to. I am a Christian. I walked out of the hospital and I said, I've got to write a tract about this. I've just got to find a way to reach people who are saying these. How do you talk to them? So I went home and I began to write a tract. I got part way and it just kind of seemed to die right there. And so I left it there on the computer and saved it. Tuesday, I was at the hospital again, Tuesday night. And I was there talking to another man about his soul. And he looked at me and he said, I've always believed in God. He said, and when I said, well, you know, I understand that, but I said, believing in God and knowing Jesus Christ are two different things. And he looked at me and he said, look, he said, I believe in Jesus just as much as you do. And so we talked for a while that night before I finally left, and he got a little agitated at me partway through, and you know, my intent was certainly not to agitate him, but my concern was for his soul, as his family's concern is for his soul. And I walked out of the hospital. That was my birthday on Tuesday. And so I walked out of the hospital, and on my way out, I was praying, Lord, how in the world are we going to be able to speak to people like this? How are we going to reach them? And it was like all of a sudden, a shot out of the dark, the Lord said, birthday. It's your birthday. When is your birthday? I said, that's it. When is your birthday? There's not anybody here who couldn't tell us when you were born. You know you were born, and everybody else here knows that you were born. You would not be alive if you were not born. So I sat down and that night and the next morning worked on a little tract, which I'll give you a copy of a little bit later, called When Is Your Birthday? The message this morning will be based around that very thought. Turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, if you will, chapter number 3. The real question that we're asking today is this. Is it possible to get saved and not remember when? Not know that you ever got saved? Not be aware that you came to know Jesus Christ? Is it possible to have been raised all your life, always believing in God, always believing in Jesus, and never need a new birth experience because of that? I think not. Here it is in the book of John, if you will, in John chapter number 3, and we begin to read in verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are some 15 times in the New Testament where the Bible refers to this business of becoming a follower of Christ, becoming a Christian, being saved, and terms it with the idea of being born. When a person is born, there is a time and a place when they are born. There's a time and a place when they do not exist. There's a time when they do exist. There's a time when they begin. This last week, Amy Hines had a baby. When Daniel Judson Hines was born, they noted the time and it went on his birth certificate. He was born at a specific point in time. When it comes to the issue of being born again, the Bible, the Scriptures are very clear that we are born again. In fact, 1 Peter tells us in chapter number 1, we are born again by the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God has some involvement with this issue of us coming to know Jesus Christ. It's possible for you to have been raised like I was in a religious home. It's possible for you to have been raised from a little guy being carried in your mother's arms until as you got older and older, eventually you just grew up with the knowledge, with the belief, with the understanding there is a God. That's fine. There is a God. And you understand that and believe that. You may have even been raised like I was to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin. Here we are about to celebrate the Christmas season and the coming of Christ. And you've always maybe believed in the virgin birth. It may be that you believe that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. It may even be that you believed all your life that He rose again from the dead. It may even be that you repeated the Apostles' Creed and learned to say that you even believe that by His death our sins were taken care of, and you understand or understood those words to some degree and repeated them. But friend, I do not believe that it is possible for you according to the Word of God, to be a child of God if there is not a time and a place in your life when you were born into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible's clear. Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus. And in Nicodemus' day, it's interesting, they believed he was a leader of the Jew, a religious leader, a teacher of Old Testament truth. And here he is, he's a leader, and up in years, he's a member of the Sanhedrin court, the highest religious body of the Jewish group that you could possibly be a member of. He's a member of this. He's a distinguished gentleman of great age, and Jesus is speaking to him, and Jesus says to him, he says, hey, you need to be born. Now, that was an insult of insults to an older Jewish teacher. Because their belief was that the older you got, the more experience you have, the more knowledge you have, the more gray hairs you have, or the lack of hairs, makes you wiser as time goes on. And therefore, because he was a member of the Sanhedrin court, because he was a religious teacher, because he was an older man, for Jesus, a younger man, to look up to him and say to him, I'm sorry, sir, but you need to get born. It was as if he was saying, you need to start all over again. And you know what? That is what Jesus was saying. You've got a wrong start. The way you began is all wrong. You're all messed up. And Nicodemus was standing there, no doubt, thinking, but wait a minute, I was raised in a good Jewish home. I've always believed in God. I believe the Old Testament Scriptures. I've been a good man. I've taught the Bible. I've told others of a coming Messiah. And now you tell me I have to start life all over again. Yes, sir, Nicodemus, he said a second time, you must be born again. And so as we sit and we talk to folks who say to us, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and I always have. They need to hear very clearly from the Word of God, you need to be born. You've never had a spiritual beginning. That comes kind of hard to those who've been raised in a religious atmosphere, to those who would think that, you know, I've been a good person all my life. I've tried to do good. I've gone to church. I've done the best I can. But Jesus was so very clear about it. You must be born again. Not only does the Bible say you must be born, and I could ask you that question, when were you born spiritually? You know when you were born physically, but when were you born spiritually? The second question maybe I could ask then, when did you come to repentance? Turn over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, just real quickly for a moment. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, and verse number 9, you're familiar with it, I'm sure. The Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish. But watch now, but that all should come to repentance. And when you come to something, when I come to the pulpit, there's a time when I get to the pulpit. When I come to my house, there's a time when I get to my house. When I go to the car, there's a time when I get to the car. To come to something means that you are separated from it, and there's a point in time when you come to it. This may almost sound simple. It may almost sound kind of school childish to even think this way. But friend, I think we need to because we are in such a state spiritually in our country that people think that they've just always been a Christian. Such is not the case in the Bible. The Bible says here that God is desirous that all men come to repentance. You say, what is repentance? Repentance, my friend, is recognizing the truth of what God says about your life and mine. That you and I, in God's view, are separated from Him because of our sin. That we have lived our lives as enemies of God. We've turned our back on God and walked away from Him, done our own thing, lived our own way. Whether that be in the world's eyes good or whether it be in the world's eyes bad, it makes no difference. In God's eyes, we have been an enemy of Almighty God. And we need to come to the place to where we recognize that we are walking away from God, walking against God, and we repent. We turn the other direction. We say, Lord, I don't want to walk away from you. I don't want to stay in rebellion to you any longer. I don't want to be what I am anymore. I want to be accepted in your sight. I repent. I'm sorry. I desire a change of life so that I will not be the same any longer. That's repentance. Repentance is a work of God in your life, but repentance is also the response that you give to God. The Bible says you have to come to repentance. So I asked you the question earlier, when were you born spiritually? But I ask you the second question, when did you come to repentance? Let me ask you a third question then. When did you come to the truth? In the book 1 Timothy, if you'll look over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says there in verse number 3, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And when you come to something, again, it means you've been separated from it. When you come to it, there's a point of arrival. There's a place where you come to it. When did you come to the knowledge of the truth? What truth? The truth, my friend, that you were lost, that apart from God saving you, apart from Christ's death on the cross being the payment of your sin, you were going to die and go to hell. When did you come to the truth? When did you come to the truth that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin? He longs for the salvation of your soul. He longs to make you His. He longs to forgive you of your sins. That's the God of the Bible. When did you come to the knowledge of the truth? I was raised, as I said, in a religious home and believed in God for many years and believed Jesus died, rose again from the dead, and believed all that was for my sin. I understood the way to say all those words. But through my teen years, there was a period of time when I began to wrestle with, does God even exist? Do I even believe what I've been taught as a kid? I was not raised to ever come to Christ in a personal way. It was just kind of an understanding, a lesson that you learn to repeat at catechism so that you could do your first confirmation. And so I learned all the right words. But it wasn't until I came to the knowledge of the truth. I understood as I heard the Bible being preached in a church like this. I sat in the back thinking, boy, I'm among all kinds of terrible, wicked people. I mean, these Baptist folk, you know, you want to stay away from them. Most of them have horns on their head and pitchforks they hide underneath their coat and daggers that they're ready to stick you with. I mean, that's kind of, honestly, that's how I thought, all right? Other folks may not think that's how I was raised. That's kind of how I thought. And I sat back there and I heard the preacher preach. And I thought, if what he's saying is true, I'm in big trouble. I remember hearing him preach and talk about my sin, about what God had done for me, about how God's love had been shown in Jesus Christ dying on the cross at Calvary. And that's exactly what Romans 5 says. It says, God commendeth, or God showed, God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our sins. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, He bore our sins upon His own body. He took our sins. He became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. He took our place. He died on the cross of Calvary when I should have been dying there. He died in my place as my substitute. And when I came to the knowledge of that truth, it captivated my soul. Any God that would come and die for me deserves my life. Any God that would love me enough to give His life on the cross for a sinner like me, one who was wrestling and at times even blaspheming and saying, I don't even believe there is a God. I can't imagine those kind of words came out of my mouth, but they did at one time. And yet He died for me knowing those were the kind of things I would say against Him. He knew I'd be blasphemous. He knew that I'd speak against Him. He knew that I'd have a heart steeled against Him. And yet His love poured out to me. When I came to the knowledge of that truth, my heart melted that night. I couldn't turn away. I couldn't walk away. I didn't want to go away. You must come to the knowledge of the truth. I'll never forget that night. It was Wednesday night. It was late at night. It was about 11 o'clock as I sat in my old Dodge automobile, 61 Dodge, in case you want to know. The paint job wasn't very much. But anyway, I sat in that car, and behind that steering wheel, I came to the knowledge of the truth. When have you come to the knowledge of the truth? When did that light begin to shine in? I'm not saying you understood it all. When do you ever understand all the wonders of salvation? But when did you come to the knowledge of the truth? Then, third of all, if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 6. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 6, we read there in verse number 37, Jesus said, we must come to Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you hear what he says? All that come to me, I will in no wise, no way, cast out. Amen. There is no way that a person could come to Jesus, repenting of sin, coming to the truth, coming to Jesus. No way you and I could come to Jesus and he would say, I'm sorry, it's after hours. I've decided to close down business now. No chance that he'd ever bar the doors, lock the doors and say, no way. No way that you and I would walk in, he'd take a look at us and he'd say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't mean for your kind to come in here. Guards, come get them and toss them out. Amen. Thank the Lord he doesn't do that. Thank the Lord, His promise here is that those that come to Him are the ones that He will receive. But watch now, again, when you come to something, it means you're separated from it. According to the Scriptures, you are separated from Jesus Christ until you come to Him. Have you come to Jesus? When did you come to Jesus? And I'm convinced there are many who come to a church. There are many who come to a doctrine. There are many who come to a membership or to baptism. And they'll say, well, you know, I remember when I changed my mind and I decided to believe like you people. But that's not coming to Jesus. Somebody else says, but preacher, I remember when I joined the church. That's not coming to Jesus. Somebody says, wait, preacher, I remember when I got baptized. Oh, you remember when you came to baptism? That's good. But let me tell you something. Coming to baptism is not the same as coming to Jesus. It's not the baptismal waters. It's not the membership list. It's not a doctrine that's going to save you. It's a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And I remember that night as I placed my life in His hands. I came to Him. I said, God, I'm all yours. Lord, I'm all yours. I don't want anybody else to own me. I don't want to belong to myself anymore. I want you to run my life. Amen. I came to Him that night. And my question is, have you come to Jesus? Do you know when you were born? When did you come to repentance? When did you come to the knowledge of the truth? When did you come to Jesus? Say, but how do I come to Him? Turn to the book of Romans, if you will, in chapter number 10. I don't think anything could be clearer in the Scriptures than this very truth. It's almost as if it's an assumed truth. But there has to be a point in time when you and I, as sinners, turn from the way of our sin and turn to God's way, trusting in Christ and Christ alone. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse number 25, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many who have their own ideas of salvation. And as I said to this one fellow on Tuesday night, I believe it was Tuesday night when I talked to him about this, it was either Tuesday or Thursday morning, one or the other, but as I said to him, I said, well, tell me, if you're wrong about having always believed in Jesus, would you want to know? And he paused. He didn't give me a flippant answer. It wasn't just off the cuff. He paused. He hesitated. And then he said, well, but I think I'm right. I said, that wasn't my question. Would you want to know if you're wrong? And could I ask you that question this morning? You may be sitting here this morning. You may say, but preacher, I've believed in Christ. I've always been a Christian, basically. I was raised in a Christian home. But I ask you the question, if you were wrong, would you want to know? I would. I would. Do I believe I'm wrong? Certainly not. Friend, I sure wouldn't be preaching if I thought I was wrong, would you? But at the same time, just because I am sure I'm right, according to what God says, doesn't mean that I don't want to know the truth. I want to know the truth, but I believe I found the truth in God's Word. I don't trust what I think. I don't trust what I know. I don't trust what I understand. I trust only one thing, and that is what God has already told me in His Word. I want to know it from God's Word. So how do I come to Jesus? How do I come to this knowledge of the truth? You come to the knowledge of the truth by the Word of God. That's why it said over there, you're born again by the Word of God over in 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Word of God's got to be operative in coming to Christ. You got to have the Bible has to be used in some manner. I'm not saying at that very moment that you got saved, and I'm not saying that somebody has to have a black book open before you can get saved. But somewhere, Bible truth has got to have been gotten to you in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's somebody witnessing to you with their mouth, or whether it's somebody showing you Bible verses, or whether it may be a tract like this, or you opening up a Bible, sitting in a room, and I've heard of folks getting saved in hotel rooms, and they look in the back and they find some helps back there, tell them where to look, and they look in the Bible and they read the Scriptures and understand their need of a Savior. But friend, there has got to be the Word of God at work in your life and mine for us to come to Christ. Have you come to the knowledge of the truth? And was there repentance? Where you realize that your life was not right with God and you wanted it to be right with God. You say, well, how do I come to Jesus if that be true? Here it is. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do I come to Christ? How do I take this work that Jesus Christ has done and make it mine? How do I appropriate it, if I could use that term? How do I make it mine? How do I get what Jesus did put on my bank balance in heaven, if you will? And the answer is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Drop back up to verse number 9 of that same chapter and look what it says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, that term believe is always at work in the Scriptures over and over again. In light of what Jesus Christ has done for us, He came to this world. He took upon Himself a human body. He lived 33 years without any sin in His life. He was God in the flesh. He was put upon the cross of Calvary willingly. They didn't put Him there because He couldn't help Himself. He willingly went there. At a moment's notice, He could have called the angels and delivered Himself. He didn't have to go through with that. He was hung upon the cross of Calvary by His own voluntary choice. And then, in a symbolic sense, if you will, God took the sins of the world and put them on the shoulders of Jesus. And I say symbolic. Symbolic in that we say on the shoulders, but not really symbolic in that God says in Isaiah 53 that He bore our sins. He did take our sins. When He was hanging on the cross of Calvary and the heavens went dark for some 3 hours, my friend, that darkness was a sign of the Father turning His back on the Son. Never had there ever been a point in time when the Father and Son had been out of fellowship except those 3 hours. It was then that Jesus Christ took your sin and my sin and paid for them on the cross of Calvary. came back out of the grave to say to us, hey, I've won the victory. That what he said in John 19:30 was true. It is finished. It's done. I've settled the account. It's over. There is nothing more for you to do or for me to do. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, he says it's not by works that you and I do. It's not according to works, but it's according to grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any of us would walk through heaven boasting and talking about what we have done. So you say, okay, if Jesus died for me, if He came and He paid for my sins, and I'm this terrible sinner and I deserve to go to hell, like the Bible says, I'm separated from God, but Jesus died for me and God wants me in heaven and God doesn't want me in hell, He doesn't want me to perish, then what am I supposed to do? Any answer? Maybe I could put it in three words. Repent, believe, and receive. But as many as received Him, John 1 says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You say, well, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I believe in Jesus, but have you ever received Him? Look at what He says again in Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me say to you, my friend, that it is possible for you to call on the name of Jesus Christ and really not be convinced of the truth of who He is, convinced of the truth of who you are. Our biggest stumbling block isn't usually, for most of us, it's not with who He is. Okay, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died. I believe He rose again from the dead. Okay, I can believe all that. Okay, you say He died on the cross. I'll believe all that. Where we stumble the most is coming to acknowledging the truth about ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, before God Almighty, when I stand before Him apart from Jesus Christ, without Christ, when I stand before God, I am a sinner riddled with sin, undeserving of being in His presence or even being considered by Him as a being worth even doing business with. Yet He comes and He offers to me eternal life and He says, Doug Hammett, if you'll just acknowledge the truth of what you are, and be willing to turn in repentance from that and desirous of being made different. You can't make yourself different. Oh, Lord, I know I've tried many times, but I can make you different because those that come to me, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are going to pass away, all things are going to become. I'm going to make you different than you have ever been before. He comes along and He says, I'll make you different. All you've got to do is acknowledge what you are, acknowledge that truth, and come believing, trusting in me, calling on me. For with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When did you confess? When did you call? When did you ask? I ask you that question, and let's just go back through them real quick. When were you born spiritually? When did you come to repentance, to understand it, to embrace it? When did you come to acknowledge the truth, came to the truth, you understood it and accepted it and believed it and embraced it? This is right. When did you come to it? For there was a time when you were separated from it. When was it? When did you come to Jesus Christ? He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to Jesus? When was it? Amen. What year? 98. Okay, had to think a little bit about that one. All right. Amen. Check you out. All right. Ah, now we understand. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. When did you come to Jesus? And you sit here and you say, but preacher, is it possible that maybe I came to Christ and I came to repentance and I came to acknowledging the truth and I don't remember it? Is it possible? And I'd say yes. If. Now listen. If. If you came to Christ and something happened to your brain, stroke, some severe blow to your head, you got amnesia, I suppose it would be possible for you to forget that. Interesting, I've known folks to get Alzheimer's and forget all kinds of things and never forget their salvation experience. Now, I'm not saying that every Alzheimer's patient will do that. I'm just saying I've known some. Is it possible to get saved and not remember it? Yes, if some physical situation has caused you to lose some of your mental faculties, that would be possible. But friend, if you've still got your mind, now, notice I didn't say if you're still in your right mind, because I don't think most of us are, all right? But if you still got the one you started with, all right? I think you'll still remember it. Would it be possible for an athlete to go in for surgery and have her gallbladder removed, and she doesn't remember ever going in? Well, something happens to her mind, but otherwise she'll remember that day for the rest of her life. Would it be possible for a person to be in a building that's burning down and they're standing at the window screaming for help three stories up and a fireman comes and rescues them and they'd forget it? I think not. My friend, what I'm saying is this is far more important, far more serious than just being burnt in a building or having a gallbladder out. Far more serious than that is this matter of your soul's eternity. Is it possible to be saved and not have a time or a place to have always been a child of God? I say absolutely not. Not according to the Bible. But it is possible that you fooled yourself into thinking, well, I'm okay because I grew up believing in God and believing in Jesus. And friend, it is possible that you are believing a lot of right things, but you've never come to all the truth about who you are, a person who's a sinner in need of a Savior, and you need to come to Christ, calling on Him to save you. Look at one last verse, 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 6. Look at verse number 2 with me. He's talking here about not receiving the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't receive it without any profit. He says, for he saith this, verse 2, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, there is absolutely nothing else that Jesus Christ needs to do for you to be saved. He's done it all. He offers to you eternal life. He holds His hand out, offers to you salvation. He asks you to come. He asks you to come to Him. He invites you. But the question is, will you come? Will you allow Him to give you a beginning spiritually? To change you? To make you into one of His children? Will you come to Christ? Will you come to repentance? Will you acknowledge the truth of God's Word today? Will you call on Christ? If you've not been saved, I recommend the Savior here and now this morning. Let's pray. Father, today we pray. We pray that You'd work in our hearts and in our lives and in this service. You've told us in the book of John, as we read earlier today, Father, You said, those that come to You, You will in no wise cast out. And Lord, I'm thankful for that promise. I pray this morning for everyone that's here without the Savior that, Lord, you just stir their hearts and help them to know that there needs to be a time of being born spiritually. I pray they'll respond to that truth. They'll acknowledge that truth here and now. I pray they'll turn from their sin and turn to Christ. I pray they'll respond during this invitation and not wait.